Hi, Emma.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's a good day, good weather. I was just under my duvet before coming
I
here.
mean, it's been a pretty rainy day, so that makes
Yeah.
sense.
It's like spending it by yourself just in your room and just reflecting, which is nice. What's been the most fun thing you've done this week?
Most fun thing I've done this week. I've done quite a few things.
Okay.
This week my dad tried to teach me how to golf.
Wow.
So on Wednesday night we went to the driving range. And let's just say golf is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
Isn't it all just about holding a stick and putting it on the ball?
Exactly. So when I think of golf, I think of a stick and a ball and like talking and like business meetings, but actually there's so much technique to it,
For real?
and it kind of hurt my hands. So we'll see. We'll see if I get into it. But
But do you like it already?
I do. I like the idea of being outside when it's sunny and walking around. And it feels quite like an official, like, sport. Do we call golf a sport? I don't
It
know.
feels like a business kind of
It
sport.
does, right? It does. So maybe one day I'll have business meetings out on the golf course. So we'll see. But right
Would be
now
so cool.
I'm one session in, and we'll watch this space for a couple more years.
Like, do you hope to like book more sessions?
Well, I should book one this week, but then I'm away for the summer, so we'll see what happens when I get
Yeah.
back and
Yeah.
if I get back into it. But we'll see. My brothers are both really into it as well. So if I want to keep up with them, I have to learn.
I also
You
play
know,
golf.
you play golf.
No, I mean you. Like, I don't think I can learn. Like, it's just when
Hey,
you
I
just made
can
it
do
sound
good.
like so hard right now.
I
I just
know.
feel like it's about swinging a stick and ensuring it's the ball that it just goes.
Well, you know, I'm sure you could learn. I'm sure you'd be a great golfer. One day we're gonna see you out there and doing business deals, you know? That's how you're gonna get your next, podcast people. You're gonna find them all on the golf course.
That could be a very good sport to go into. And
It
you
could
also
be.
run. Like,
Yes,
you
I
run so
do.
well.
Oh, thank you. I actually did a 15K yesterday. That was the
Wow, I'm still
longest I've
struggling with
ever
my
run.
5K.
No. It's really fun. I love it. Like, because I work generally inside an office job, and so it's nice to like, get outside and to run, even in the rain in Scotland. It's fine. So,
15K. Gosh, I would
yeah.
probably die on
Hey, I was halfway there because I was
the
dying for sure, but it was fun.
Have you ever competed in a marathon before?
No, I haven't. I actually only started running in December,
Oh, nice.
and
It makes me feel
so.
hopeful now.
Yeah, and so I'm just getting into it, and I've been doing a lot of fives and a lot of sevens. And so I made a couple goals for the year. I'm quite a goal-oriented person.
That's good.
And so I made one of my goals to run a sub 25 5K. And
Wow.
then now I'm like, okay, I want to try and run a half marathon before the summer. We'll see. I haven't like signed up for races or anything, but right now it's just a personal
Yeah, my
goal.
goal is to like run the half marathon in Glasgow.
Yeah, do it.
No, I don't think
No, I
I
think you can. I
can.
think it's a mindset. Like once you like get into the flow of it, you just have to like be okay with the fact that your whole body really hurts, but that it's fine.
I showed someone like my 6K run and it was like, I think 40 minutes. Then the person asked me, "Did you walk?"
Oh
Then
my
I'm like, "No,
gosh.
I was running."
Wow. Hey, it takes time. It takes time. You have to get used to it,
Oh
to the
no.
flow. How long have you been running?
I just started like one morning and then I was like, I'm going to do this. Like, I feel
Great.
like I just want to try new things. Like, I
Yeah.
started boxing, I started playing handball, then I
Oh,
hope to like
nice.
start playing tennis soon.
Nice.
Just seeing
Wow.
what I can do.
Yeah, absolutely. Have as
Yeah.
many little hobbies as possible.
And the one
Love
I don't
it.
like, I drop them off.
Yeah, love
Yeah,
it.
like the running one.
Hey, don't drop the running yet. Don't. It's really good for you.
Yeah, but I don't know how people actually do it, like running the full marathon. It's a
Yeah.
lot.
After doing 15, I was like, I don't know if I could keep going. Just I get bored. That's my problem. I'm like listening to music and I'm like, oh, I'm ready to do the next thing. So at that point, you're probably running for like an hour and a half and you're like, right, what's next? So I feel like a marathon, especially training for one, you have to do so many long runs. But maybe I'll look back at this podcast and be like, wow, that was so funny because I don't run a lot, but
But
we'll
like, do you
see.
feel like your attitude towards sport is also a reflection of like who you are as a person, like being goal-oriented and ambitious?
I think so. I think so. I love to accomplish things and I love to like, tick things off my list and to do things well. And so I think it definitely has reflected into my life and just I want to be like ahead of the curve and be ahead of the game and go and I don't know.
I have two questions.
Yeah,
Yeah,
okay.
so like, First, the sad one, when like anytime you feel you're not ahead of the game, how do you feel and how do you handle it?
If I'm not,
Like
right?
you're not ahead, like you said you like to be ahead of the curve.
Yeah, I don't love losing. And so I don't lose.
How do you handle losing when you do?
When I do, honestly, I'm a pretty good loser. I think, no,
For someone that
genuinely.
doesn't like
No,
losing.
genuinely. I think people don't realize that, like, yes, I'm competitive. I like to win. But when I lose, it's actually fine. I don't feel like I throw a big fuss. And it just means that I'm really determined to come back again
And
later
do
and to
it
do it
well.
better. So I actually don't think I'm the worst loser. Don't worry, I'm not a bad loser.
Yeah, I know that
I think I'm
feeling.
good. I think
Yeah,
I'm
I think
good.
you're
But
good.
I don't like people watching me lose. I think it's embarrassing. But I feel like if it's like a game that I'm playing with just like my friends, I don't really care that much. So
Okay, like what I've like if you want to share like the 5 biggest like achievements you feel like you've set for yourself and you've been able to achieve. Did you have like a list before you're like 18, before you're 22?
oh, big list. Wow, I don't know if I've had like big lists for like my life. I think it's more like smaller goals that I've made. I think, I'm currently getting my master's, and so trying to get my master's before I'm like, 24, and like, things like that, where I'm like, and that's pretty, I feel like most people or some people do that. It's not like, oh, let me be unique and be better than everyone else, but I think it's more just like, I think it keeps me going day to day, be like, no, I actually have to work really hard right now so I can accomplish this thing so that I can move on to the next thing. So I think it's one of them is working on my master's because I've always wanted to get my degree. And then, I don't know. I think right now running goals are pretty up there. One of my just like personal goals is to be standing and walking around as much as possible throughout the day. I don't like to sit down. So that's just a small one. It's not like I, take care of that much. But yeah, those are
So
my
like have
goals.
you been able to stay consistent like when you have goals like if people listening are like okay you have goals you want to achieve them and have you been able to stay consistent and your eyes like focused on what you want to achieve and do?
I think I just plan it into my schedule for when I want to do things. But I also think that one of my goals in life is it doesn't matter how stressed I am or how worried I am about my work or about the stuff I'm doing for school, but I never like say no or cancel plans with friends and like community just because I want to like also like be with people. Because I think with like goal-oriented people, we can often like push people to the side and like focus on our goals. But I think something that I do is try and like build in time like with other people. And so honestly, my schedule is like what I live by. It's, do I have built-in times where I can be running or focus on what I'm achieving, and then also times where I'm like with friends so I can slow down for a minute. I don't know if that actually answers your
Yeah,
question,
that
but
does. That's cool. So we just talk about your time in missions. How did it start? How did it happen? Going for missions, like the passion to just like reach out to other people in places that the gospel has not been to.
Big question. My start with missions, I obviously grew up here in Scotland. My parents are missionaries here in Glasgow as church planters. I think you've had Brian on here before. And Brian, my dad. So I feel like my whole life has generally been missions being here. Growing up, I wouldn't have said that I was a missionary. I just grew up in Scotland with an American accent. So that was kind of my life. And then there was a bunch of people that worked for the church, a bunch of our staff that had done this thing called YWAM, which stands for Youth of the Mission, which is a Christian missions organization where their focus is to train young people to go out into the missions field and to proclaim the gospel. And so I'd heard about this YWAM program, but when I was 18, so when I was finishing secondary school, I was planning to go to Aberdeen and study geography and sustainable development, which would have been a
Great.
very different life. Yeah, it would have been great. I was really excited to do it, as boring as it might sound, but I was really excited about it. But then COVID happened. And so when COVID happened, and then all of the unis announced that they would be online for that following year of 2020, into 2021, that academic year, I was like, oh, I don't want to go to
school.
I don't want to go to uni because I'm going to have to be like locked up inside for a year. I'm not going to have community. I'm not going to be able to go to classes. And so then all of a sudden, I was remembering all of these people that had done YWAM. And I am an American citizen. And so I was like, oh, maybe I should like go do YWAM and go to America and do this thing for the 6 months and then come back and go to uni. And so my parents were super supportive. They knew that I probably wouldn't have done well. I don't think many people did well in that season with COVID. But just having that option, I was like, right, I'm going to go to Hawaii and I'm going to go live there for a couple months and do YWAM.
So COVID was a blessing to you.
You know, it kind of was. It kind of was. It definitely, God used it to send me on a very different track in life than I was planning to go.
Yeah.
And so even though there was many issues, so like when I got to Hawaii, which I know sounds like such a, you know, such a sacrifice, going to Hawaii, but when I went there, I had to quarantine for 18 days in a room.
Wow.
And so I was in this room. There was a couple other girls there. We were totally strangers when we showed up. We couldn't leave our like one room with all these bunk beds for 18 days. It was more than 2 weeks because of different issues. So 18 days. And I had classes online and I was stuck inside. And then even after that, there was other times kind of throughout that 6 month program where I had to go in quarantine for certain days. So it was a lot of uncertainty, and I know that everyone was quarantining. So it wasn't like I went to YWAM in Hawaii and I just kind of like escaped COVID. It kind of obviously was there too.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I got into missions.
Yeah.
And so I got to Hawaii and it was great. I did DTS, which stands for Discipleship Training School. And basically they teach you for 3 months about different aspects of God, about the Bible, about biblical worldview and all of that. And then for 3 months you go anywhere in the world. They send you, they allocate where you go. And you go and you serve at churches and at other YWAM bases and help out there for a couple months.
Wow.
So obviously mine was still COVID, and so our whole three-month like outreach, those last 3 months, I was in the mainland of America.
Yeah.
So we all went to America. And I ended up traveling around on the East Coast, and we were hosting worship gatherings and doing all of that for 3 months before coming home. And so that was my intro into missions. I suppose intro into missions, like for me as like an individual rather than like with my family.
Yeah.
And so then after that, that's when it became like a choice for me. I could either like continue on this path and go back into missions and go back to YWAM, or
come back to Scotland.
And I had deferred my place at university, so I could still go to university and study and get my degree like I wanted to get. And so it came to this moment where I was like, okay, what do I want to do with my life? Like, where do I want to go? And I realized that I just really loved missions. And I really loved, going to different nations and proclaiming the Lord. And I don't know, it just was obviously what I had done my whole life, but actually doing it as an individual, I was like, no, this is what I want to do for myself. And so I chose to go back. And I think sometimes I think back to that choice, and I really do think the Lord would have blessed me in either choice that I had made, whether I'd gone to university or whether I had continued with YWAM. But I do think that that decision was one of those moments where it was like, all right, am I gonna like say yes and leave everything behind for these next few years and go back to YWAM, or am I gonna do the traditional university path? And so it was like, looking back, I'm like, wow, little like 18-year-old Emma made like kind of a life-altering decision to like not do the traditional path and not to do university. And I think university is amazing, and so many people are called to do it. But I really felt so strongly that I was supposed to be in missions for those years.
Like, how were you able to handle it, being so young and being in a new space, being in missions? So like, how were you able to undo like probably being a youth? A lot of times you want to be like, oh yeah, like it's my life. I should be able to do things I love. So how were you able to get your convictions like very much altered to like focus your passion on just the things of God being so young at that stage?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question. I think so much of my passions were already like what YWAM was.
Yeah.
And just because I'd been what my life was growing up in the church, like so much of my life was serving in the church and doing missions and kind of all that, because my dad's a pastor. I loved that. I loved that growing up, and I loved that lifestyle and just the flexibility of, you know, ministry, but also like just how much time and energy it took, and just seeing my parents do it, I just loved it. And so then when I chose to do YWAM, it wasn't one of those decisions where I had to like, you know, get rid of things that I wanted to do, but it was me just realizing like this is actually what I want to do. And I think growing up, I never had a desire to, I just never had a desire to live like the world lived. I never had a desire to drink. I never had a desire to do drugs. It was all just like, no, my desire is to do what God wants me to do. And so then going back to YWAM, I was like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And so I think it was pretty easy to jump into that.
Do you think you're like the next Billy Graham for the world?
I don't think so. I'm just taking little steps at a time.
Yeah.
I mean, if God wants that to happen, but I don't think so.
So like the passion for missions is quite like very interesting. And do you have like stories that like were very touching during the time you're in missions? Like,
mm-hmm.
like do you have like things that happened that made you like that strengthened your resolve for missions, like probably people's lives that were transformed,
mm-hmm.
seeing people like go from being like let's say in a dark spot to coming in the light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there are many stories of that. I think the first one that came to mind was when I was in Thailand. Yeah. I led a missions team to Thailand when I was 21. When I was 20, maybe I was 20.
How many places have you been to for missions?
Oh, really not that many. I spent one summer in 2023 in Thailand and South Korea. But that was it. That was one summer that I was there. And then generally I was in Kona staffing and working for the Bible school out there. So this one trip that I went to Thailand, my translator, she was really great. Her name was Ning. And she was with us the entire time we were there. Obviously, she was Thai, and she would order food for us, and she was just, you know, she stayed with us everywhere we went, and she was a Christian, but it was so cool, kind of like, as we, like, continued on missions, and she had never translated for a Bible teaching team before, and so then just, like, kind of seeing throughout the trip, just, like, the questions that she was asking, or just the way that she, like, came to life throughout that trip was just so... Yeah, inspiring just to see like, okay, she's actually so transformed by what we're teaching like as our translator. And then when we left Thailand and went to South Korea from there, she came with us because she was like, I don't want to leave this environment. So she came with us to Korea, and she couldn't be our translator in Korea because obviously we speak different languages,
yeah.
but she was just with us on that trip. And so even though that's not one of those like really big, like crazy stories, it was one of those moments where, you know, we just got to see her just like in community and like falling in love with Jesus and like learning more about the Bible. So that one sticks with me a lot because we're still friends now.
Wow.
I did a lot of ministry in Thailand in the red light district. And so all those women, I think about regularly, all their stories and just why they're there and just their heart for their families and their children. It's heartbreaking. But yeah, I think one of my crazier stories, one of my favorite ones was when I was still in Kona, so I wasn't even, you know, out doing missions. And there was one night, we were doing a Holy Spirit night, and we actually did something quite similar to this actually the other day at Rehope, but we were, you know, asking the Lord for like different spiritual gifts and different things that we wanted to see in our lives. And I really felt like I was supposed to ask for the gift of miracles. And part of me was like, do I just want this because that sounds really cool?
Yeah.
Or do I like actually like...
Really?
Feel like I should have this gift. And so I prayed about it, and I was like, God, like, if you want to give me this gift, you can, but if it becomes a thing of pride for me, like, you can take it away. You know, like, I don't want to, you know,
yeah.
Use this for my own gain, but I really did feel like I was supposed to ask for that gift. And then the next day, we were in class, and one of my friends, her back was really hurting, and it had the whole time we were there. And she had x-rays, and she was missing one of the discs in her back.
Yeah.
And so it just gave her pain for, like, her life. And there was one day where we were supposed to be praying for healing for people, and so she was one of those ones that went up to get healing. And I really felt like I should go pray for her, so I went up and started praying for her. And as I was praying for healing, I felt like the Lord, like, interrupt my prayer, and he was like, Emma, why are you praying for healing when I've given you the gift of miracles? Because there is nothing there to be healed. Like, you need to, something needs to show up that's not there. And I was like, oh, okay, shoot. And so I changed my prayer, and I was like, God, like, you're a God of miracles. Like, please, can you do something? And I was quite, like, I don't know, I was quite scared to pray the prayer, because I like praying for healing. Just, I feel like I've done that more, you know, than miracles. I don't know why. I think miracles is one of those, like, you have to have a lot of faith for that, you know, for something just to show up. But I felt like I was supposed to pray that the disc would show up. And all of a sudden, she, like, straightens up, and she's like, oh, I feel so much better.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, really? okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, you couldn't really prove anything in the moment. So I was like, cool, you know, whatever. But then she had a scan, yeah, the next day or a couple days later, maybe. And it came back, and, like, the missing disc was there.
Whoa.
And I was like, oh, shoot. I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was one of those wild ones where I was like, wow, God can really use our prayers.
Yeah.
So that's one that sticks to me. And that's the only time it happened. I've never, maybe I should pray for miracles more. But
yeah.
I've never... done that.
Do you think, like, the more, like, we use a gift, like, the more we can actually exercise it?
I think so. I think that with the gifts, we are all, you know, all of us have some maybe that the Lord uses in us the more than others. Like, for myself, I know that the Lord has given me the gift of faith and other ones, the gift of teaching potentially. But for myself, I don't really have the gift of healing. But I also know that, like, in moments where I'm praying for healing, I'm still going to pray for healing. Like, I'm going to, you know, some people are way more gifted where if they pray for this, it tends to happen. Whereas for others, it doesn't as much. God can use anyone. And I do think that the Lord uses every single individual and can use every single gift through them, even if he has given some maybe more strongly on different people, right? Like, some people are amazing evangelists. I'm not an amazing evangelist, but that does not mean that I can't evangelize. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I'm always going to pray the gifts, and I'm always going to step out in all of them, even if they're maybe not the ones I'm the most competent in or maybe the most strong in. But I don't know. I'll have to test out the miracles one more.
Yeah.
It's not really one of those ones you can pray day to day. So next time it happens, God might have to remind me.
Probably just go to someone on a wheelchair walking.
Yeah, it's so true. Well, that's a healing, maybe. But
okay.
I know. I'm like, what could possibly show up in my life that would have to be a miracle rather than a healing? But hey, one of these days, I'll keep you updated.
I'll keep asking.
Yeah. Have you prayed for miracles this week? No, I haven't. Maybe I have.
Yeah.
But,
like, it's amazing. But, like, what would you say, like, the difference between having, like, the gift of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit itself?
Yeah, I think the fruits of the Spirit are naturally what should flow out of us.
Yeah.
If we are walking it with the Lord, if the Holy Spirit is in us, you know, we're supposed to be walking in all of them in love and joy and peace. And I think those are things that continue to grow in our lives as we spiritually grow, as we get to know the Lord, as we grow as believers. Whereas the gifts are, I think, ones that come to us in certain moments. So there's certain moments where we're supposed to be praying for healing. And in that moment, you might be praying using the gift of healing. So that's not something necessarily that grows throughout your life, but it's something that you have access to maybe in specific moments.
Yeah.
So I think that's the difference between them. I do think that you can grow in use of the gifts, but I think generally, to, like, draw a distinction, a line, I think that the fruits of the Spirit are just what should naturally flow out of you as a believer.
Very true.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so true. Yeah, I feel like fruits are things that, like, grow. Gifts are, like, what are given. So, like, I don't know. I don't want to step on people's shoes, but, like, when I see people pray for, like, things like, I don't know, patience, love, long suffering. The things in Galatians 5:22, I'm just like, okay, if you're a believer and you have the Holy Spirit, like, just these are things that should be like an outflow of the Holy Spirit just walking in you. So when I see someone that has the Holy Spirit and has a bad character, I'm just like, how?
Yeah. It's like, are you growing?
Yeah, you know? It's like, yeah. So even like if the seeds are there, we have the responsibility to like nurture them, like give ourselves like times to grow, and circumstances in life come up and you'll find people testing up your patience. Mm-hmm. And instead of you to raise your voice, the Holy Spirit will be like, oh, just smile. Mm-hmm. Or pray for the person. Mm-hmm. And one thing I do when people annoy me is I intercede for them. So I tend to love them.
Right. Yeah. That's great. It's a great reaction.
Yeah. So like when people just annoy me and I'm hungry, I'm like, oh no. And I want to say something, but I'm just like, oh, I bless you in Jesus' name.
That's awesome for you. I'm going to go pray for you.
Yeah. Because it could just, I feel like we just have to keep growing and just keep growing as believers. And one of the greatest stories we can tell to others being Christians is our life. Mm-hmm. So when you see a believer and you see a believer's life modeled like so well, and you don't even have to ask them if they're Christians or not, you're just like, I want to be like that guy.
Right.
Yeah. So like we should actually be the difference, and our attitudes should be different from people that are not believers. So it's like very important. So a lot of people want the gifts, they want power.
And you're not going to get them if that's what you want.
Yeah.
You know, if God knows your heart, like if you want a gift like, because you want the power or the like coolness of being able to like pray for healing, you're probably not going to be able to pray for healing because he knows that it's going to give the desire is for yourself to get glory that for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I feel walking in love could be like one of the most powerful things that could happen to anyone.
Exactly.
You know, that's a popular quote that says, the day the love of power replaces the power of love, there would actually be peace in the world, which is like so amazing. It's so amazing. So cool. Yeah. So I was just jumping to the next question. So how did like your teaching ministry start? At what point did you know you're probably called to be a teacher of the word?
Yeah. So again, I was still in YWAM, and I had done a 9-month Bible school with them, where in 9 months I had studied the Bible. I'd read through each book of the Bible 5 times.
Wow.
And inductively looked through it and charted it, and went through every single chapter. And
you're like a Bible guru right now.
Well, it was a lot of work, and it definitely, I feel like the more you study the Bible, the more you realize how many questions you actually have.
Yeah.
So honestly, when I came out of that school, I was like, wow, I feel like I know so much more than I've ever known before, but I have so many more questions than I've ever
had answers.
Before.
Yeah.
And so I came out of it and I was like, I feel like I know nothing, even though, you know, I had learned a lot and it was amazing school. But after that, I was like, no, I actually like, I feel like I want to go through it again. And I want to do it all again, and I want to continue to learn and to grow. And so I felt like God asked me to go back and staff that school. And so what that would require of me is to teach the Bible. So I would have to teach maybe 3-hour lectures or even more for different books to the students. And I had just been one of them like the year before.
Yeah.
And so I was terrified because I would be 20 going into this. But I did it, and I asked the Lord and I asked the school if I'd come back and staff, and they said yes. And so for the next 2 years, I was there and I
teaching
was teaching.
Bible.
And I had small groups that I would lead. And teaching at first was really hard. It still is difficult now, but it's like when you're first learning to teach and there's just so much pressure and you're, you know, having to, you know, deal with your own personal stresses and your own worries, and as well as like, how do you take all of this information you've just learned about a book and like put it together in a teaching? And so it was definitely a lot to learn. I had a lot of good people around me that were helping me and were supporting me as I was doing this. So I ended up being there for 2 years, just teaching and helping with this school. So that's how I started teaching.
Wow.
It started off, you know, some of my early teachings are questionable. I think the content's fine. I don't think I said anything heretical, but it was definitely like, I look back and I'm like, oh, I probably could have done that slightly differently.
Yeah.
But I think we all have those moments.
Yeah.
But,
I feel it's like just a learning process. It's just, you never get there, really. You keep,
Like
God keeps opening your eyes. It's like you could read a verse like 10 times, and on the 10th time you see something else. It's just like, wow.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. I feel like if I went back to all those teachings, I'd have to redo them all just because I would learn new things. And you just, you know, the Bible is living and active, you know, as it says in Hebrews. So I feel like if I went back, just new things would be highlighted and I'd have to shift all the focus and everything. So.
And at times, like, also, like, our circumstance, our situations also affect, like, how the word of the Lord speaks to us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you know, you were back in Wyoming then, and God was speaking to you concerning something different, concerning mm-hmm. what you are probably facing for a particular student in that class. Mm-hmm. And right now, you're just, like, in different people, and there are different needs, and God is showing you something different.
Right, exactly.
So it's just a prayer that, oh, God, just speak to me what this person needs. Like, people are, like, crying out, like, God, send your word to me as Emma preaches. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, yeah, God wants you to teach on Hebrews. God wants you. And you're like, God, what Hebrews?
Yeah,
like,
no, genuinely. It's crazy just, like, how it can be so different for different people and just, like, for different moments. Because you can't really, like, perfectly replicate a teaching every single time if you, like, redo it again a year later just because, you know, it's a different group of people.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different thing to highlight. So.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it sounds like you're Timothy now. You know, when Paul was writing back to Timothy, I was like, oh, give yourself attention to, like, books and, like, just keep reading and stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like your knowledge base is, like, so vast.
I'm trying. I'm trying to keep growing. But.
Yeah. So, like, when you left teaching in Wyoming, you came down to Scotland to join SBS.
Yes, I did. So that last year that I was in Wyoming.
Why did you stay more?
Why did I stay more?
Well, like, why didn't you, like, stay more? Like, what made you come back?
Yeah. So when I was there that last year, there was just so much happening in Europe. And so we had, you know, in Hawaii, there was lots of, like, small moments where people would gather and be praying for Europe, or people, there's a lot of Norwegians. So the Norwegians were praying for Norway, and everyone just felt like, you know, God is, like, moving in Europe again, and there's going to be a revival coming. There's going to be a revival in young people. And I don't know, that whole last year I was like, oh, I really want to go back because obviously Scotland is my home.
Yeah.
And so, you know, even though, again, I have an American accent, like, I'm from here. And I was like, oh, I really...
How did you do that?
You know, I don't know. But I was like, okay, I really want to, like, be a part of what's happening back at home. And so I prayed and I was like, God, like, can I go home?
Both.
Which was actually a crazy prayer because it wasn't like, you know, I love my family, I love life here, but it wasn't like... I was so desperately missing home, you know. It was just more that I wanted to come back because I wanted to partner and be a part of what God was doing in Europe. And so, yeah, I felt like God was like, yeah, you can go home. And after that, my dad had started this Bible school here with Fiona, and it was what I was doing in YWAM, but just at home. And so coming back, I was like, well, this is perfect because I get to be back in Europe. I get to be doing the same thing that I'm doing and teaching at a Bible school, but just here in Europe, and I get to be part of what's happening. And it's been so amazing being back. I moved back in August, and being back and just being able to hear about what's happening, because there is a silent revival.
Last August?
Mm-hmm. So I haven't even been home a year yet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I've been in Scotland more than you've been in that.
Hey. It's, yeah. You've been around. I'm the new person. So, yeah. But it's been crazy being around, and, you know, there's this silent revival that's happening.
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about how young people are coming back to the church. And
yeah.
So every time that someone says that, I'm like, well, this is why I wanted to come back. And this is what I was hearing is happening in Europe from the last couple years. And so then that's why I came back, and I still get to teach the Bible regularly, which is just such a blessing. And now I'm in seminary. And so, you know, it's been so kind of God to, like, allow me to come back and to be part of what's happening. And to teach. So I think it's one of those funny things where I'm like, okay, I think maybe teaching is in my future because God keeps putting me in places where I'm supposed to be teaching. So,
what you're studying in master's, is it also theology?
Yeah. So I'm studying theology. I'm studying, I get to choose next year what my specific focus is, but I'm really interested in, like, church history and theology. So I might do a focus on the New Testament, but right now I'm doing a church ministry degree.
Well, what would you think, say, your, like, overall call is?
Oh, I don't know. I think definitely something in missions. I love the local church, and so something within the church. I never want to do something, you know, that's separate from the church.
And,
so I think church ministry is definitely my calling. I don't know where, if that will be here in Scotland or somewhere else in the
Zambia.
Hey, it could be literally anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm open and just kind of waiting for God to speak what's next. But I know that for right now, I'm supposed to stay here.
Yeah.
So
it's like your heart being so open. That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, God, send me here. Huh?
Yeah, I'm like, God, please let me go. And he's like, no, please stay.
So, you're already a missionary. Yeah.
So it's true.
Yeah, which is like so good. What do you enjoy doing? I think we spoke about earlier, but aside from like sports, what else do you, mm-hmm. what helps you to de-stress from day-to-day activities? You said something about community building also.
Yeah.
What else helps you?
What else helps me?
Do you draw? Do you paint?
I sew.
Oh, wow.
So, I know it's such a random part of my life, but I know how to sew, and I like to make clothes. And so a lot of my time, if I'm at home...
You make clothes?
I do.
I have known that.
No, I know. I don't like to talk about it that often, but the second you said no sports, I'm like, oh, dear. It cuts out all those other things.
Yeah.
I like to listen to audiobooks or podcasts and sew at home. And it just helps me to like use my hands and to like completely distract myself from work or especially if I'm maybe I need an introvert moment and I don't want to talk to as many people, which doesn't happen that often. But if I need a moment where I need to by myself, I'm not very good at sitting still. And so I like to sew and to make clothes, and I like just how much it distracts me. Like, you have to be thinking about how to cut the pattern and exactly how much fabric you need. And I don't know. I think it just really helps my brain.
Is that your way of getting away from the moment when you don't want to deal with it?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, just like blast a podcast in there and just think about what's in front of me. I don't need to think about anything else.
Oh, so like the clothes you sew, do you wear them or like?
I do sometimes.
Oh, that's so good.
Not all the time. I wore a top that I made like 2 weeks ago at church.
Wow. Now I have to ask you, did you make this?
No. Oh, no. I'm just getting back into it. I loved it, but then I've kind of brought out the sewing machine kind of in this last month. I've been getting back into it.
Yeah,
it
was so good.
So, yeah, that's one of those random
I would have expected it.
I know. I feel like I don't bring it up that much. It's not embarrassing.
Yeah, it's so good. Like, it's like so good.
It doesn't come up naturally, you know?
Wow.
So, yeah, but I love it.
It's like so good. Like, you could make money also from it. Like, have like a fashion line. So.
Hey, that would be the dream.
Yeah.
You know, if God didn't call me to missions.
Yeah.
That's what I would probably want to do.
Yeah, like what if God also wants you to add that, like the fashion with mission to?
Oh my gosh, if he does, here am I, send me.
Send me.
You know? Like, I'll do it. So it's my Isaiah 6 moment.
No.
Maybe one day.
Yeah, so like, where would you say you are at the face of your life right now? Like, what God wants you to do just like this year, this period? Like, mm-hmm. where would you say your heart would?
Where am I supposed to be this year? Here in Scotland with the Bible school. A couple weeks ago, I was at a conference down in London, and I don't know, I just really felt like I wanted to be traveling again.
Yeah.
Like, it's been a while since I've just lived in one place, and so I was like, my God, like, I really want to go and do something new and exciting. But I felt like God so clear, and two people came up to me separately. And we're like, Emma, I feel like you're like exactly where you're supposed to be. And I was like, oh, dang it.
No.
You know, like, the Lord just spoke through both of you separately as I'm having this internal debate with God about how I want to be somewhere else. And so I think just like with that, I'm like, no, I'm here until he makes it very clear that I'm supposed to go. Oh. And so I think with that, I'm like, all right, like, how can I just like lay foundations here for my life for the next couple of years, and if God eventually tells me to uproot my life and go, I will happily do that. But right now I'm like, all right, here we go.
But how do you think people also can find their own passion in missions? Like, how would you encourage others to find their passion in missions, and what makes it different?
I think just like kind of two things.
Yeah,
like pray and like ask the Lord, like, are you supposed to go somewhere?
Yeah.
Like, is this supposed to be like a physical move of where you are, like, you know, whether that's the country or city that you're in? But then I also think like God does use the skills and the things that you enjoy. So I know we were just talking, joking around about having a fashion fashion design, but I genuinely think that like with those kind of skills, those things that people love to do, I think God does love to use that.
Yeah.
And so I think like if there's a skill that you're like, this is, you know, if you're someone that loves painting or loves, I don't know, running, like, make a running club, cool. You know? Like, do something that can partner with, like, what you're passionate about and also missions, because he gives you passions for a reason. You know, it's not one or the other. And so I think, like, as people move forward in life, you know, some people aren't called to go to different countries, and that's totally fine. But it is, you know, our call as believers is to spread the gospel, whether we go into missions or not. And so kind of thinking about, like, our lives and, like, questioning, like, am I being missional in the context that I'm in? You know, am I being missional in my work? Am I being missional in, you know, the skills that God has given me? And kind of, or, like, even over social media, you know? And so I think, like, you just kind of have to reflect and be like, all right, kind of start narrowing down, like, is God calling me to go to a different country? And am I just saying no to going to a different country because I'm scared? Or is it God actually not calling me to go? And then kind of, like, kind of, yeah, digging through, like, what are the things that he's given you and the things that you enjoy doing, and kind of just prayerfully ask the Lord, like, is this something that I'm supposed to use to declare the gospel through?
Amazing.
Yeah, but amazing. That's my advice from the top of my head.
Yeah, no, that was a blast.
Great.
Amazing. That was, like, the best speech I've heard from missions.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Like, you talking about being able to, like, be a missionary in your workplace, mm-hmm. like, just start something, mixing, like, your passion with, like, missions. It's so good. Starting a run club mm-hmm. and mixing it with missions. It's, like, so good. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you're in a Bible read-through. You could, like, do something together, invite your friends over, tell people about this.
Right.
And it's, like, so good. And not being shy of God in the workplace. So recently, during my breaks, sometimes I just read my Bible, and I realized mm-hmm. that what we do is actually people observe, and it's actually, it can be a source of influence to others. So suddenly I started realizing that another colleague of mine started reading our Bible mm-hmm. during break. I'm like, okay, yes, that's cool. Like, so awesome to see people know that, oh yes, you actually stand for God and just believe in God, which is, have you been in situations where, like, you've ever felt shy about faith? And if you've never been in that situation, or what about people that are always in that situation and they're like, oh, if I talk about Jesus, would that make me look like a low-rated individual?
Right.
How do you think people can handle it? And what do you think they can do to just avoid all these kind of emotions?
Yeah, I mean, great question. I do feel this way often. So
for real?
Don't worry, I am with everyone else on this. I'm not the most confident evangelist.
Oh, you sound super confident.
Oh, well, I'm chatting to you, but I'm not the most confident. I think that I come from a place of, like, oh, I don't want to ever make people feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what stops me often from talking about it.
Yeah.
But I think then whenever I do hear stories of people just randomly bringing up, like, on the train or with their colleagues, and oftentimes there's great fruit and great conversations that come from that. And so I feel like I'm constantly challenged to be more vocal about the gospel. And I think, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot recently because obviously I work for the church. And so many people that I meet are already Christians.
Yeah.
And so I'm actually not in that many places where I'm surrounded by unbelievers.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not actually a part of my day-to-day life. And so I've had to become more vocal on my social media about, like, not necessarily, like, preaching the gospel every day, but just, like, being super open about, like, this is my life. Like,
yeah,
this is what I do.
This is where I belong.
This is where I belong. This is what I do. And so I think right now that's kind of my main, like, I'm not going to be ashamed of what I do or who I do it for.
Yeah.
Online, because I have so many of my friends from school and from just all throughout life that are on my social media. And so that's kind of right now my main place where I'm like, all right, I'm going to be super open and honest about what I believe and why I do different things. But honestly, it's tricky.
Yeah.
It's a tricky thing because you really do have to put yourself out there to share the gospel. And I think that, I think like, do it naturally. You know, you don't need to be weird and walk up to someone if you believe in Jesus. You know, I think it can come naturally just through, like, even what you're saying, like reading the Bible at your lunch break. Like, you could have people come up to you and just ask you what you're reading, right? That's such a natural way to start
sometimes
a conversation.
I could be so shy. I'm like, oh, I'm reading a book. They're like, oh, no. Okay.
Yeah, I think, like, but things like that, it's just like, you know, it could be is simple. You know, they can even follow up, be like, what book? And you're like, oh, yeah, the Bible.
Yeah, the Bible. Yeah, it's like, when they follow up, I'm like, oh, yeah, the Bible.
Shoot. Yeah. But I do think that, like, things like that, where it's like, you've actually set yourself up really well for someone to ask you a question. And it's almost easier when they come and ask you than you're going to ask them. And so, like, even that, like, challenging you to, like, when someone comes up to you, go, yo, I'm reading the Bible. And if they want to ask follow-up questions, they can.
Yeah.
Or if you feel like you should ask or follow up, then you can too. So I think it's just like putting yourself in places and positions where people approach you and want to chat to you about it. But that's just my approach. Some people are amazing at going and starting conversations and being an evangelist. I think I need to learn from those people.
Yeah.
But right now I just try and be.
I'm just scared of the noise. Like, at times, like, rejection. Except I feel like a God has to just tell me, oh, go meet this guy. Like, if not, I'm just like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to be sent back to my country so soon.
No,
I'm
joking. Oh, my gosh.
I'm joking. No. But I'm just like, oh, okay. Like, so scared of the person saying, no, he's not interested. Like, my handball team, guys. So when I started playing handball, I was thinking, how can I actually reach out to these guys, like, with the gospel? And But I didn't want to, like, scare them away, push them away. I was just forcing things down their throat. Then, like, my social media, I was always intentional about God. Like, then coming here, I'm like, what if this guy has just started unfollowing me? When they're like, why is this guy always talking about God and stuff like that? And I just didn't care. I just kept doing it.
Yeah.
Then the more I did it, the more I gained more followers from them. And they were like, following me, interested. And I started a podcast.
Yeah.
They were listening to my podcast. Then I'm like, okay, it actually gives them an avenue. So it's like, oh, no one is actually talking about God in their life except from this guy on their Instagram account who is always concerned about God. And it's like so good and knowing that, oh yeah, people actually listen. Because sometimes we could be in a training and they're like, oh, I listened to that part of your podcast. I'm like, oh, you listen?
Like, no, wow. It's shocking. Yeah. People will, like, if you're like one of the only believers in their lives, they're going to be interested in what you believe. And so, it's shocking. Yeah. Like, you know, just that they might listen because you might not expect them to, you know, if they're unbelievers.
But and now, like, exciting. I don't even care again. I'm like, okay, like, I would rather lose friends, lose people than just deny Jesus. Like, that's just been my most, because I feel Jesus, having God, is the most precious thing anyone can have because every other thing can go. And you having the Holy Spirit, in partnership with the Holy Spirit, you can produce any other thing. So it's like, oh, a friend left you and the friend was like so valuable in getting you a job. With the Holy Spirit, another job can still come. So like, with the Holy Spirit on your side, you have the greatest advantage as a person.
That's true.
So it's like, you're not disadvantaged itself. So people can leave, but just don't leave Jesus.
It's true. Yeah, you don't know what the Holy Spirit's gonna highlight to the person on your left or right, you know, from what you do. So it's really cool.
And I feel like people also like try to like be socially acceptable. Like when we go out, let's say I'm with my handball guys hanging out, and they're like, oh, you don't drink? I'm like, yeah, I don't drink. You're a Christian? I'm like, yeah, I'm a Christian.
Right. I'm like, it's just
I'm like, okay, yeah, it's just my personal value and like how I just keep my concentration. Like, people are different. How they do things are different. So it's like a choice for me.
Right.
And they're like, oh, okay. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love that. I love that. I love that you're also like in a position like with your handball team, like, where you've put yourself in a place where you're surrounded by unbelievers. Yeah. You know, you're not just like locked in with like only church people, you know, but you're actually putting yourself out there to have a place where you can have these conversations and to impact those people around you. So I think it's great.
Sometimes when people ask me for my Instagram, I'm like, yeah, I'll give you my Instagram.
Yeah.
But only if they need what I'll put on my Instagram. Yeah. I'm just like, oh,
no,
yeah. Like,
there was
a guy on Friday, like at the gym, was like, oh, just give me your Instagram. I'm like, yeah, I'll give it to you. And I just put it there. I'm sure it'll be like, okay, because like on my Instagram, it's like John14:6 via Veritas Vita. That's like University of Glasgow's motto, which means Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Right.
Then I'm sure they'll be like,
No, I'm sure they love it.
Yeah, I'm sure they
do. Or they're interested.
Yeah,
they're interested. Watch more.
Yeah, they watch more. It gives an opportunity. So, like, this is also for anyone who feels like less confident. I feel like the fear is always there. We just have to keep going because, like, God can't come down himself. He has sent us to be witnesses.
Yeah.
And we just have to do the work, really.
Yeah.
Day in, day out. Yeah.
Yep.
Do you have any last words to say?
I don't think I do. I mean, pray and ask the Lord if you're called into missions. Yeah. And then if you are, go.
Yeah, or send Emma a message.
Oh yeah, send me a message. I'll tell you all about YWAM and missions. So yeah. Let me know. Or about Bible school. If you're interested in Scotland Bible school, let me know.
That would be so great. How many years is it?
Well, it's just 1 year. You could do the New Testament in 1 year. And then if you want to do the Old Testament too, that's a longer commitment. But yeah, we can chat about it too. Yeah. So 1 year first to do the New Testament.
That's good. Guys, reach out to Emma.
Yes, reach out.
Or reach out to me. I'll transfer you to Emma.
Great.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Emma, for doing this. It's been great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes, have a great day.